I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Check, check.
Check, check.
What's up?
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And fourth meal. And speaking of fourth meal.
And a couple fourth meals.
Speaking of fourth meal, I want to give a shout out right now to everybody who subscribed to the podcast. If you want to support the show on Patreon, we would love that. One Ep is Dead on Patreon. Also, if you're someone who has not yet reviewed or given us five stars, we need that. We need all the five stars and all those comments. All of that silly stuff is what pushes us up the charts. And it balances out, Sife, for the random people who just hate me and never listen and give us one star and say Rosenberg is a culture vulture. We need to balance that.
A little bit. And here's the thing. No disrespect to you and your life and your patterns of behavior, but you're on your phone all fucking day anyway, texting, Instagramming, blah, blah, blah. Do me a favor. Just go over to iTunes or wherever. Press five like you would on Uber, five stars, and just write, yo, this is my favorite podcast. These guys are the best. Loved them from years ago. Years ago. Loved them from years ago. And that's it. Press send. And you're done.
Yo, you said it
Jesus
so perfectly.
Christ.
And while we're at it, by the way, while we're at it, while we're plugging, when you're on those streaming services, go ahead and go stream my single.
Oh.
Marcus Smart featuring Flea Lord and Stove God Cooks. The song's getting wonderful feedback because it's a great tune, and the kind of people who, love One Ep since years ago, you will love this song. It is right up your alley. 2021 boom bap rap ish.
Where is Flea Lord from?
He is from Far Rock.
Okay, if you're from anywhere in Queens, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, Long Island, Westchester, Rockland County,
even
parts of Jersey, upstate. If you're very famous in New York, hit up Very Famous NY and get your Very Famous in New York shirt or hoodie.
Yo, by the way, I'm glad you said that because
Jesus Christ,
Stove God Cooks, who's on the song, is from Syracuse, also New York.
Perfect. Perfect.
By the way, I should have taken you up on it when you said, hey, you know, we could split these shirts, too. I should have said yes. I should have said, because they're flying off the shelves.
They are flying off the shelves. No joking around. Thank you for every single person who went on Very Famous NY and purchased a shirt or hoodie. I mean, I literally was, like, so excited because I put out a fucking stupid shirt. Rosenberg put out a piece of music, and the people are supporting, and I fucking love you for that.
But your shirt costs so much more than the song.
No,
your
shirt—it's
affordable. But my song is literally—it's streaming. It's free. It doesn't.
I don't like.
I mean, it's not free.
I just made a bad tone. I don't like your tone. It's kind of a weird. It's like a weird analogy you're making here. Like, what?
Yeah. No. You're right. You're right. wait. Well, I thought these shirts were going to be limited. How long are they going to be up for?
Huh?
I thought they were going to be limited.
They are limited.
To what? Until the last person clicks buy.
Well, the Austin ones are done. Very famous in Austin. You missed those. Those are done. That was a week only. All my new friends in Austin copped them. If you're looking to get it, you're late. It's done. They might come back one day, but right now they're done. But very famous in New York. And listen, this is what I mean by very famous in New York. It's not about fame and celebrity in the entertainment world. If you are famous to any person.
Oh, so even if you're not famous.
I'm famous to my daughter. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I'm a star in her eyes. I'm a star. Right. When I come around, it's like, oh, that's my dad. So I'm very famous in New York. So if you're famous on the block, you're famous at work, you're famous to your family members, this is the gear it's you need to remind yourself.
See, what you're saying, I thought you were going to go down some path of, like, motivational bullshit. But what you said was actually true. It makes sense.
It makes sense.
Now, I will say, my girl had an ill idea last week.
Okay.
She suggested, she was like, yo, since you guys do different cover art every week for One Ep, what if you put the cover art on a shirt for sale, super limited each time, and then when they're gone, they're gone. Now, it got a little messed up this week because last week's cover art was shit miss, in general, they've been really dope.
Well, here's the deal. There's a lot of One Ep fans out there that have been fans since years ago. Any graphic designers that are fans that want to help us out, because Billy June making the cover art is, I want to say, horrible. You know what I mean?
Well, by the way, considering he's a talentless oaf, he's done a great job.
He's doing very well for no talent scumbag.
Now, last week was tough because he went and tried to do Follow the Leader, and he used the single cover and not the album cover, and that's our bad for not correcting it.
Right, right.
Because I think the better idea was what I had later, which was to take the original cover and change the back of the jackets instead of Eric B. and Rakim to Kobe and Gianna. I think that would have been cooler.
That would have been dope, yeah.
Instead, we added just Kobe sitting there with the trophy. It was a good attempt by Billy June. It just
he's didn't. Not an artist. He's what not is an he? Artist, and he's a mashugana. You know what I mean?
But he is a mashugana. Also, Billy June, we got to talk to you about something. Maybe you have to turn your video on for a second.
Okay, bring Billy June in. We got things to talk about. Let's hurry up.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to get to today, but this is important.
Ugh, that image describes everything.
I was very happy not being on and watching you guys just make fun of me.
But Billy June, but this is why we had to do it. I gotta ask, what are you attempting to do with the beard? Why? Like, you don't think you're already a weird-looking creepster first place? You're like, let me give myself a Unabomber look?
Right.
Why is this the move?
Do you think it makes you look older?
No, I just haven't gotten a haircut in a
Bro, trim. I can't stand when people say that because I've never shaved my face with a razor in my life ever. I always used to, every week I'd go to the barbershop and the barber would do it for me. But then I bought clippers in case I had to go on the road and just take down the beard. I can't cut my hair. Yeah. But I could taking down the beard is easy, bro.
Not for me.
Why not?
Every time I try to do it, I end up shaving the whole thing off. I almost did it this morning.
Yeah, no. Shave the whole thing off. That's what we're saying. Don't try to shape it.
Okay, fine. Billy June, if you don't want to take the whole thing off, you can add little, they have pieces clips you put on, so you can't take the whole thing off.
Look at these eyebrows.
Again.
Look at these eyebrows. I take the clippers, I put the one clip on, I do a pass through. I do one pass over.
With the guard, that's it.
Just keeps them a little, you know, I'm not styling them, I'm not threading them, I just keep them nice and down, light. You know what I mean?
But Billy, here's my thing. You could take the clippers, watch a tutorial on YouTube, and shape your beard thin, you'd look like fucking Rory from the Joe Budden podcast. Instead, you look like the redheaded Unabomber. You look like a freak.
You look like some. You don't watch this show called Longmire? Nice. There's a show called Longmire. It's very funny. I mean, not funny. It's a very good show about a sheriff in Wyoming. Anyway, there's a guy named Bob. He's a drunkard. That's who you look like. You look like Bob from Longmire. Just take it down a little.
I just woke up. Like, if I take a shower and shit, it isn't as bad.
It was shorter when you woke up.
you think showering makes hair go down?
It makes it look a little bit cleaner.
The dirty is not the problem.
It's just so long. And you're not the only one, by the way. The reason I'm saying this is not just to make fun of you, even though that is a lot of fun. It's because a lot of people during quarantine have acted like, I don't need to shave my disgusting beard. And it's like, why? Just use clippers and clean it up.
I went on YouTube the first month of quarantine and learned how to cut my hair. Mind you, the first two cuts were horrible. But I was like, I fucked up the back of my head, but I'm not going outside. So it's fine. It's going to grow back in 2 weeks, and I'm going to try again. And I learned how to cut my own hair, at least to look halfway decentable. Crazy. And barbershops are open.
I know. I go every once in a while. I'm not trying to go every week.
Where do you live again?
Bushwick.
Okay. Go to Greenpoint. Go see my boy Didi at Fade to Famous. I'll just tell him, put it on my tab. Please, just fucking cut it down.
There's a spot down the street that I go to.
Fuck that spot.
I show them a picture and they just cut my hair.
Fuck that spot.
Just I think next time we do the podcast in a week, can we just see what you look like if you bring the – because I think it would work for you. Just keep the beard just at a low level.
I've done that before.
Whenever I see you, you look like a psychopath. I say that with all due respect.
You look like a voluntary incel.
Yeah.
Should I just shave it off right now?
You look like you're voluntarily, involuntarily celibate.
Should I just do it right now? Right here, right now?
No,
listen,
it's okay.
We
got to
talk about shit. Get off the fucking podcast.
We love you. We love you. Go away.
What do you mean, we love you? I don't like him at all. I hate him as a person.
You do? Wow, that is really, right. really hard.
There's a lot of things going on, Peter Rosenberg. It's Black History Month.
Yep.
I don't know if you knew that. February is Black History Month. I want to, first of all, I'm trying to support more black business. If you look at my Instagram, I finally got my West Side Gun hoodies that I ordered on Black Friday.
Are you wearing one now?
No. I got this in L.A.
Nipsey? Oh, you got a Nipsey
Austin.
Shirt.
I got this in Austin. Yeah, this is Nipsey. But but I'll throw on my Griselda shit later. But I've been trying to support more black businesses or small businesses, not just black. And I want to watch black movies that I haven't watched yet. Or maybe even I'll watch a couple reruns. But I want to watch black movies that I haven't watched yet. So any suggestions you have, hit me up at Cypher Sounds or at Juan Epp is Dead and tell me some black movies that I should watch. I'm trying to watch one at least 4 or 5 a week.
Wow, good for you. I would love the same at Rosenberg Radio. I definitely need to get my game up. There's a lot I haven't seen.
I didn't watch the Griselda movie yet. You watched it?
So I got halfway through it.
Yeah.
And I was going to go pick it up the next day, and then I forgot for a day, and I was like, oh, I need to finish that joint today.
Yeah.
And it was gone.
Oh, it only lasts a limited time?
No. It's gone. You can't watch it anymore. It's gone.
No.
Yeah, that's how they did it. They did it the way they do everything. It's gone.
No.
Yes, you can't watch it anymore.
Pull it up?
No.
Are you serious?
I mean, I'm sure it'll come back, but I hit up Gunn. I'm like, yo, send me the link again. I need a new link. This joint doesn't work. He was like, no, that was the only link. There's no more link.
No!
It was good, too.
I gotta hit him.
It was a good hood movie.
Oh, I need that. I wonder if they're going to put it out on DVD or some shit.
I'm sure. Billy June says he can find it. I'm sure someone put it somewhere.
Yeah,
Also, I started watching Hot Boys. You ever watch Hot Boys?
Hot Boys. What's that?
It's a No Limit movie.
Oh, okay. No, it's no. Is it No Limit or Cash Money?
No, No Limit.
Oh, No Limit. Hot Boys, because the Hot Boys were a Cash Money group.
Yeah, it's true.
That must just be a term from
the
Orleans.
Yeah, no. But it is, because remember they had the song Hot Boys and Girls, too. No Limit had Hot Boys and Girls.
Right.
Now, listen, here's the thing. I'll describe to you who the two stars are of the movie, and you tell me if it sounds good or not. Your decision.
Okay.
When you hear the word starring Silk the Shocker and Gary Busey, what do you think?
I would pop that in.
Exactly.
I'd pop that in.
So I started watching it, and the only thing I could think about when it started was how a young Silk the Shocker, in moments in that movie, looks so much like Tyler, the Creator, that it cracked me up. When he's wearing a hat, there are these moments where it's so funny. So I go on Twitter and I take a picture of it, and just to be an asshole, even though I knew that this person was going to be such an asshole back, I did it anyway. And I said, yo, at Vince Staples, I didn't know Tyler, the Creator, was in Hot Boys.
Wait, why would you hit Vince Staples about that?
Because Vince loves making fun of people for everything, and I'm sure he's made fun of Tyler for this very same thing, I would assume.
Okay.
And Vince is such a connoisseur of the culture of, like, all... Like, Vince loves to point out random old shit that no one thought about and tell you how ill that shit was. Okay. Like, that's the kind of guy he is. And he retweets what I say and simply writes, this is anti-black. everything Vince Staples gets, everything he says on Twitter gets retweeted a gazillion times.
Really?
So I had thousands of people calling me racist and saying, wow, Rosenberg can't tell black people apart. Like, maybe I actually thought Tyler, the Creator, who was 3 years old at the time, was in Hot Boys. But this is what I get for trying to have fun and be cool on Twitter. But that's what people should...
What did I put up recently? I said, Biden on the inauguration. I said, Biden won. Racism's over. Thank God. Mm. You can't tell that sarcasm. Somebody comments on my Instagram, you're dumb. I'm unfollowing you. How could you think racism is over just because Biden became president? I was like, it's sarcasm. You're dumb.
You can't. There's no.
You're dumb.
There's no place to have fun in any way. And by the way, we're going to get back to black films. I forgot to mention one thing I did not consider.
Mm-hmm.
When I put out my song, Marcus Smart, mm-hmm. number one, hey, maybe you should check if other people have songs called Marcus Smart. They do. Like, three other people have songs called Marcus Smart.
What? Which is, really?
It's so random. He's not even an all-star. Like, I can't believe. I was like,
wow.
What? Okay, number two. Maybe wanted to consider this. How's it going to look if right after you put out the song, Marcus Smart gets hurt? Oh. Guess what happened last night? Lakers, Celtics, national TV. Marcus Smart screams in agony and gets carried off the court.
What?
Now I'm the asshole who jinxed Marcus Smart. I'm praying. I thought it was an Achilles tear, and I was like, please. A, I love the guy. That's why I named it after him.
Yeah.
But B, I'm like, please don't be an Achilles tear. They said it was a lower calf strain, and he's getting an MRI. So hopefully it's just a strain, and he'll be out for a few days.
This is all in one-up fashion.
I know.
We do it wrong all the time.
All the time.
We are the best to never do it.
You know how many texts I got last night making fun of me and saying I jinxed him? And I'm like, this isn't funny. This is not funny. So back to black film.
Yeah.
So the other day, the great Cicely Tyson passed away.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
She was like 94 years old.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Cicely.
And Cicely Tyson was iconic. And
Mike Tyson's mom, right?
Mike Tyson's mom. That's right. Mm-hmm. And she's obviously an icon, and for a million reasons. She was in Roots and this movie Sounder. So
Tyson
we start.
Chicken.
She again, not the same person, but I went on the air on the day after, and we started talking about Cicely Tyson. Uh-huh. I didn't know, and this is one of those things where, like, I'm not black. Okay, as much as I love black culture, there are limitations to it because I didn't grow up in a black household.
Right.
So, you know, it's like how I didn't know a lot of samples when I was younger. I didn't hear the samples.
Right.
Like,
I didn't raised on that music. Yeah.
I never knew Herb Alpert Rise was like a thing. I'd know Hypnotize, you know, like.
Yeah.
So while I know that Cicely Tyson's iconic, I might not have predicted that we would talk about it like many times the next day.
Right.
So here's the part that's funny about it. Ebro and Laura start this conversation. Ebro speaking with such reverence as is deserved. But when we start trying to talk about her career, the amount of bullshit being said because no one has actually seen any of her movies.
Yeah.
Like, she's iconic because of who she was and the time that she did it and the fact that she was a name forever. But when you're trying to go through her IMDb page as if you know very much beyond
I don't think Roots. I know any. Yeah. But I know the name and I know she's iconic, but I don't know I don't think I've seen any of her movies.
I know. So, like, it ended up I felt like an asshole because I have nothing to contribute except, oh my gosh, it's officially out. First team all defensive guard Marcus Smart has been diagnosed with a grade one left calf strain. He will miss some time, but sigh of relief. Woo!
Woo!
We back, baby!
Woo! Thank God.
Oh my God. Anyways, I just felt like such a jerk because I'm like, I don't want to act like I don't appreciate a black woman who made it in Hollywood and had a career who's 94, that alone is incredible. But at the same time, I'm sitting there quietly because I hadn't seen one thing. Yo, I've never seen Roots. Talk about where I need to start for Black History Month. I've never seen Roots.
Yeah, but...
Have you seen Roots?
I can't say I sat down and watched it all the way through, no.
I know Kunta Kinte. I know the general theme.
Your name
but
is Toby.
I've never sat.
I know Kunta Kinte.
Toby.
I know people who are in it. Yeah, I never watched the whole thing. I know Commander LaForge is in it from Star Trek.
That's important.
Here's the thing about you, though. This is your problem.
Here we go.
If
so
there's
many.
Something you don't know, just fall back.
I did.
You feel like you have to speak, and because you don't know something, you got to find your way in. Just shut the fuck up for a little while.
So that's what I did, but then I felt bad because then I'm like, why? I always worry. I'm like, damn, Rosenberg doesn't even respect Cicely Tyson. Damn. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to be the asshole who's just talking to talk.
Yeah, say
you know,
thing.
Listen, if God forbid Barbara Streisand passed, I could wax poetic about what she meant in my household.
But this
is a different. This is. I know that she's iconic, and I know that she.
Yeah.
So Sife, the first most important movie you should watch for Black History Month is Hot Boys.
Okay, Hot Boys. I want to watch. Yeah, I want to watch some of the hip hop movies.
Have you ever watched State Property?
State Property. Yes, I watched State Property.
What about State Property 2?
I don't think I saw 2.
Ugh.
That's how do you feel about Bill Cosby movies? Like, how do you feel about watching Uptown Saturday Night and Let's Do It Again?
I've never seen any of them.
What?
No, I've seen Ghost Dad.
No, Uptown Saturday. That's where Biggie Smalls comes from.
Oh, the name Biggie Smalls is
in
Uptown Saturday Night?
Yeah, the hustler or one of the, you know, the bad guy in Uptown Saturday Night is Biggie Smalls. Great movie.
I have a question. In that movie, does that character say at any point, Biggie Smalls is the illest?
No, he does not.
N-Bomb say I'm pussy.
No.
I dare y'all to stick your dick in this.
No, he didn't say that. He did say, the one line he did say was, my friend C. Gutter will fuck your kids in the ass.
That's in the movie? Okay.
Throw him over the bridge.
And throw him off the bridge?
Yo, you know who's my friend now?
Who?
Lil C's.
Wait. Me, he was never your friend. He was never your friend before?
I mean, we lost contact. Like, we were like industry friends, but me and him been talking on DM lately.
Well, hit him up right now. That guy's on Instagram all day. He's commenting constantly in Pretty Lou's show.
That's how I got cool with him, from Pretty Lou's show. Yo, it's over. Season 4 is over, man. See, we got to wait for season 5.
Oh, I can't wait for season 5.
Okay, yo. What other movie? I never saw Black Panther. I never watched Black Panther.
All right. Well, now that's crazy. I'll tell you what. In 2021, that might be the craziest. Like, Roots, but Black Panther, it just came out.
I don't like hype. You know I don't like hype. So when that movie got so much hype, I know people that bought tickets to Black Panther and didn't go watch it. They were just supporting.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, I understand how much you're supporting this black movie, but is it a black movie? It's Marvel. I don't know. It's not even that. It's the hype. I don't like things with hype. I saw Get Out years ago. I saw Get Out
later. It years was later, years ago really. And years later. Wait, let me answer one thing you just said, though.
Yeah.
About Black Panther being a black movie.
Yeah.
So two things. One, I was not excited to see it because I don't do action movies anymore.
Uh-huh.
But I saw it because I didn't want to not be a part of that conversation.
Well,
I was
you
like,
have to speak about those things, though.
I was like, I have to see this.
It's part of your job to watch stuff like that because you have to be in the zeitgeist. You know what I mean?
So I went and saw it, and I thought it was great. And here's, you know, Dipperstein, my agent, explained to me why it was such a big deal, even though it's kind of obvious. Excuse me. It's maybe not. Maybe it needs to be said. The biggest problem, he said, with why black movies don't get made is not even about America. It's that internationally, it's so racist that people don't have an interest in black stories being told.
Right. They won't even go watch those.
They don't even go.
Yeah.
So he said, because Black Panther was an entirely black cast and black director,
right,
and it did so well overseas, it changed the game.
Right.
So that alone,
that
even if Marvel's the ones making the most money, it changes the game in terms of what could now be palatable internationally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's what I'm saying. But like a lot of black movies are about black subjects.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Like a movie about, what's that movie with the little girl and her boyfriend gets shot? I think it was called, it was like a Tupac title. The Hate U Gave. The Hate U Gave.
I was going to say, was it called Tupacalypse Now?
No, it was called The Hate U Gave because, you know, his Thug Life tattoo is The Hate U Gave. Thug is The Hate U Gave. So it's a movie. It's like a little teeny bopper black movie. This young girl, her boyfriend gets shot by a cop and happens to her. It was a really nice movie, but it's a black subject. Like all the actors pretty much were black. But it's a black subject where people might not be able to relate, where Black Panther is a comic book movie and an action movie starring all black people, which is
that's always been what's annoyed me about the lack of black people in film, is that what ends up happening is you have a subgenre of black stories. Yeah. Now, I absolutely feel, as any normal human being should feel, that black stories need to be told. And I personally enjoy black stories because that's who I am and who I've been raised to be. And I care and want to see black stories, even though I just acknowledge I've never seen Roots. But that said, I enjoy black stories. However, to me, it's not about, while on one level, yes, let's tell black stories and let's make sure black stories are told. Okay. That's actually always been done. It just ends up being really niche because of people's interests.
Yeah.
When are we going to get to the point where black people are just in stories?
Yeah.
Like, not a black story, a story where many of the characters are black. Like, that has always been, there are so few movies. I actually think about it, and I know there's a racial thing behind this because these kinds of characters are very common and people see them as token and not enough. The Dave Chappelle character, didn't you work with him at some point?
Yeah, I work with Dave Chappelle, yeah.
So Dave Chappelle's character in You've Got Mail. Now, I understand the wise best friend who's black, I know, is a trope, and it's a thing that's been done, and that's not enough. That's not what I mean.
I didn't even know he was in that movie.
He's Tom Hanks' best friend.
I never saw You Got Mail.
It's a great, great, great romantic comedy. It's a nice movie. Watch it for Valentine's Day with your lady. It's a nice Valentine's movie.
Okay.
So Dave Chappelle is in the movie. Now, that's not enough. I get it. That character is a trope. It's existed, etc. However, I point out that character just to say he's just a character in the movie.
Right.
That's not the theme of it. Now, I'm not saying you should avoid it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't talk about the character being black. Of course you can or should if that's what makes sense. I'm just saying we need to get to a point where casting is done in a way where you're just seeing black people on the screen
like
all
you
the time.
Do in real life. Or maybe
like
in real life. Maybe because we live in New York, it's different. We're spoiled because it's just we see everything and everybody. But like movies with like an interracial couple where the point of the movie is not the interracial relationship.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? We need that. Like if you see a movie with a white girl and a black guy, their relationship is what the movie's about.
Correct.
No, it can just be. It can just be.
And in real life, interracial couples, the interracial part of it is a part of the relationship, mm-hmm. and it's something that gets discussed. I'm guessing if you were to ask a married couple who's been together for 20 years about them being a couple, the first thing they would talk to you about would not be like, well, you know, he's black and I'm white.
Right.
It's a piece of their life. It's not their entire life, but Hollywood obviously has never prioritized that. And if it's not prioritized, and if there's not an agenda to do so, and by the way, like this is a big thing that we're going to see because Joe Biden is signing a whole bunch of executive orders, and there's a lot of stuff about equity, trying to balance the scales. And this is what makes white people get terrified. Yeah. When you talk about balancing the scales, meaning we are going to accentuate the need for people of color to get things, white people start being like, oh my God, that's going to be unfair. That means it should all be equal. White people just generally want the equality to start.
Yeah,
the race started and I was 30 yards ahead, but now we're all equal. And what Biden and they're trying to do now is not simply just say, no, we're all equal. We're trying to catch things up and then be equal. You can't just start in the middle of the race and say, okay, now we're fair. Slavery's over. Let's start. So anyways, what's your favorite black movie of all time?
I mean, I tend to lean hip hop first. You know what I'm saying? Like in the black movie universe, I tend to go hip hop first. Juice is one of my favorites. House Party is one of my favorites. Like if Juice or House Party is on TV, I'm watching it. You know what I mean? Like House Party with commercials. It's on BET all the time. I'm watching it. Great movie. I love what else? What else is black movies? Give me some more.
Well, I'll tell you mine. If I know mine.
Yeah.
I think my favorite's Boomerang.
Really?
I think Boomerang's my favorite.
I don't love Boomerang.
Yeah, you wouldn't because you're not bright.
You consider Boomerang a black movie?
There's not a white person. The only white person in the movie, I think, is in the store when they go to buy suits, the racist guy in the store.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only white person in the movie.
Are Eddie Murphy movies black movies?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. No, but Beverly Hills Cop is not a black movie. You know what I mean? It's a great movie starring a fantastic black actor. Beverly Hills Cop was on the other night. I watched it at 3 in the morning. It's one of my favorite movies. It's so good. But it's not a black movie where Coming to America is a black movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is.
Did you ever know, did you know Sylvester Stallone was supposed to be Beverly Hills Cop?
No, really?
Yeah, that movie was written for Sylvester Stallone.
Wait, but that's why, that's funny that you say that, because that movie's not a black movie. That's interesting.
It's not a black movie, and it's not a comedy. He made it a comedy. Eddie Murphy made that movie a comedy, but it was written for Sylvester Stallone, and I believe he was, I don't know if it's Rocky or Rambo, he's doing one of those, and couldn't do Beverly Hills Cop, and Eddie Murphy got it.
I'm reaching out. How perfect would this be for Juan Epp? I don't know if he'll be awake.
Okay. Yeah, we do Juan Epp way too early.
How perfect would this be if to talk about black film in Black History Month, I got a Jewish guy to come on the podcast.
I'm not friends. Sure how perfect that would be.
I meant how perfectly Juan Epp it would be. I want to ask. Well, listen, we can't get Eddie Murphy.
No.
Okay?
No.
But his writing partner happens to be a listener of my podcast, Cheap Heat.
Okay.
His name is Barry Blaustein. Barry Blaustein.
That's not a real name.
Swear to you. And
that's
he
a
just,
name a writer writes to make fun of a Jewish writer.
That's a great point. I just talked to him because he wrote Coming to America too.
Really?
So he asked to come on Cheap Heat. He was like, yo, let's talk. So I was like, absolutely. So I just texted him. I was like, yo, if you're awake, hit me right now. We should get Barry Blaustein on to ask about. I think he co-writes all Eddie stuff. That's co-wrote amazing. Nutty Professor. He co-wrote Coming to America and Coming to America 2. I don't know if he did. Boomerang. Let me explain why I love Boomerang, though.
Okay.
Boomerang is amazing because it's exactly what I just said. It is an entirely black film that is not about race at all. By the way, I'm not saying I don't enjoy films about race. I do.
I do too.
There's a huge place for those.
Do the Right Thing. One of my favorite films.
That's actually in terms of the best. That's probably my number
entirely
one.
Entirely about race.
But it's entirely about race. Coming to America, with the exception of the scene where the one white guy's in it in the suit store and he follows them around the store.
You mean Boomerang? Boomerang.
Besides that one moment where they point out racism in that moment, besides that, you have a black executive. You have another Robin Givens, another black executive. You have Grace Jones. You have all these people playing in the. They're all in the fragrance industry. Mm-hmm. And Eddie Murphy just created a world where everyone's black in the entire universe.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it's not about that. But at the same time, in some ways, I find it to be more impactful in the sense that you're just like, it seems normal. You're like, oh, yeah, why wouldn't there be? But the thing is, at that time, I doubt.
They weren't.
I doubt there's even a situation like that now in the U.S. where an entire gigantic fragrance company is run by all people black. Maybe.
Right.
But I don't know if it exists or not. But I know
it's
that
funny
I
because even
processed
black,
it as like, okay, sure, of course.
Even black companies, like I know black executives that own black companies will say, no, we need to get a Jew in there. You know what I'm saying? We need to get a white girl in there. You know, we need a white girl publicist. We need a Jewish whatever. Like, because they know, like, if we want to win, we got to put those people in there.
Yeah, and I just find it to be a super it's a great love story. It's super funny. Like the everyone thinks of the John Witherspoon part, as you should, mm-hmm. because it's iconic. I mean, there's no Friday John Witherspoon. I mean, maybe it still exists, but it doesn't hit the same way without the boomerang scene. I mean, that was
but
you got to coordinate.
But there's no Boomerang John Witherspoon without House Party.
Yo, wait, he's what's John Witherspoon at House
Party? He's the neighbor that's like, hey, shut up all that goddamn noise. What's that, Public Enemy? Public Enema? Who the hell would want a Public Enema?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's John Witherspoon.
By the way, if you want to have your mind blown, I'm going to pull up the John Witherspoon IMDb. Yo, have you ever looked at it?
No, but I know it's crazy.
It's yo, man, and that's really what speaks to how hard Hollywood has always been for black people, man. That guy grinded for so long, so many random parts, and just put
probably
together
had a great life though.
But he ended up getting to have an amazing career. But listen, if he doesn't get that look, like he gets those looks from black films, the House Parties, right. The Boomerangs, yeah. The Fridays, those are all black films.
Yeah.
Now I guess we could have a conversation about what constitutes
like is Training Day a black film?
No.
It's not.
No.
Malcolm X is.
Yep. Well, that's
Jungle
directed
Fever
by
is.
Anything Spike Lee is.
Well, not what about Spike Lee directed Inside Man? Is that a black film?
That is not a black film. No.
You know what
so
I'm saying?
So I guess it's about the subject, it's about the cast, it's about the
director.
I mean,
but Denzel is the star. But that makes it not a black film. It's weird.
So
black is about black subject matter makes it a black film?
I think so. I think it's subject matter. I think you could have an entirely black cast. You could argue Boomerang's not a black film in that sense. Because it's not what the subject matter is.
Right,
but it's an entirely black film.
Right.
Yo, he was in so many things. First of all, he was in I Got the Hookup too, which is important. Mm-hmm. He was obviously in the Boondocks. He was a star in the Boondocks.
Uh-huh.
He was in Thugaboo, A Miracle on D-Rock Street. He was in Little Man, of course. The Tracy Morgan Show.
Uh-huh.
Soul Plane, Friday After Next, Dr. Dolittle.
I like
2.
Soul Plane. It gets a bad rap.
I like a lot of those movies. I'm a big fan of the Martin Lawrence Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. Big
fan.
Yeah,
you fan. Tell me that. Is that a black
and Black
movie?
Black Knight. Yes.
But Black Knight isn't. And literally has black in the title, but it's not a black movie. Soul Plane gets a lot of here's what I hate about Soul Plane. It gets a lot of flack because the director was I think he's Dominican or Puerto Rican. He what's his name? Torero. He did a lot of music videos and then he made Soul Plane. What I hate about it is that why is a Latino making a black movie? It's like because we're from New York. In New York we're all the fucking same. There's no different. We know all the black jokes. They know all the Puerto Rican jokes. We're neighbors. We grow up together. You could listen to Mark Anthony Through the Wall, and then I could listen to James Brown Through the Wall. You know what I mean? Like, it's a New York thing, and that's what I hate about the rest of the country not understanding how in New York we're all the fucking same.
I know, but then the thing is, but then you hear about it. There's so much. So I feel that's what comes to my mind. But then when I listen to people talk, and I hear like DJ Cass One, who's a black Dominican, talk about the racism that does exist.
100%.
That it's also not the same.
But those people are from Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico. Like, they're not Americans. Like, if they're immigrants.
You're saying that once,
on,
if
you
you're
grow
an American.
Up, if you're an American, listen, we always say I'm Puerto Rican. Because in New York, we have to say what we are. It's just part of the culture. What's your name? Where are you from? What are you? Out of New York, that question, people get shocked and they feel disrespected. In New York,
so
it's like, no, I'm half Trini, half Jamaican. I'm fucking half Puerto Rican, I'm a three-quarters Puerto Rican, quarter Irish. So I'm only Puerto Rican in a New York description sense. I am American. I am American. I'm not born anywhere. I'm born in New York City. I have an American passport. I'm not an immigrant. I'm not a fucking, what do you call it, refugee. I'm an American, but in the New York sense, to describe who I am, I'm Puerto Rican. In New York, we all, like, if you're a fucking American from New York and you grow up in those type of neighborhoods where it's mixed, bro, you learn everything. So I can't joke about black shit, even though all my friends are black and their moms basically on the block raised me the same way my mom raises them. You know what I mean?
I know. And that I remember one of the things, obviously, I don't have a lot to offer this conversation, but I will say I remember how big a deal the J-Lo N-word thing was.
It's so not.
And also so not.
It's so not. I know, I understand how it is to the media.
Well, it became a thing. People started making it a thing. And I remember being like, well, no one says anything to pun.
There is no, well, you can't, it'll shoot you. There is no racial connotation to the N-word in the Puerto Rican community. You know what I mean? Like, unless you, like, are trying to hurt a black person's feeling, but you only, you don't even mean it. You just say it because you know it'll hurt them. You know what I mean?
You're not saying, you say it.
No, not, wait, what do you mean?
Well, no, I don't want people to think you get angry and use the N-word racially.
I use the word so much, it has nothing to do with race. It's a fucking a noun and an adjective.
Right.
I don't even know the race part of it. When I see white people on Insta on my Karen videos, there was one I saw yesterday, and this guy was like, "Nigga," and I was like, "Nah, that's not how I say it." Fucking, it was so crazy.
So here's a question I have for you. Very curious to think to hear what you'll say about this. I think I know, but I'm not sure.
Okay, let's just.
I've been considering.
Taking it up.
I'm 41 now.
Yeah.
I think it's time. I was thinking about muting the N-word on my album.
No. It's not.
Go ahead.
You didn't say it. You're censoring someone if you mute the N-word on a dirty version of an album. You're censoring.
Yeah, by the way, here comes the Chappelle part of Sy. If you don't want to talk about censorship around these people, Joe Rogan will show up my house.
On the clean version, yes.
Well, of course.
Not of course, because it's not a curse word.
That's true.
Like, there was a time on Hot 97 when I used to do my clean versions, and I would leave the N-word in, but I would take out shit, fuck, dick, all that stuff. But I would leave the N-word. And then eventually, this is years ago, as time went on, I started muting it. But I was very conflicted about that. And I was like, I don't know. To some people, this is not a curse word. And the way they're saying it is not in a harmful way. So why am I muting this? And I was in a corporate environment, so ultimately, I made the corporate decision to take it out to avoid any stress or smoke, if you might say, towards the company.
Right.
But personally, I feel I shouldn't have muted it because it's not a curse word. I'm playing music by black people for black people. And if white people are listening.
Right.
This is how we talk. We're not wrong. You're wrong for telling us we're wrong. You know what I'm saying? So.
But my fear is, my concern was this. I grew up being able to hear, and I'm sure many of our listeners feel the same way. I grew up being able to hear all the music I loved use the N-word and feel totally comfortable saying, I'm not using that word ever. I'm not repeating it when I hear the songs. I'm never using that word. I don't fully trust that that's the case now. So what I'm asking is, and I think you're generally right, I think I land on you don't want to censor the artists, and that would not be the move. Although I could ask each one how they feel about it. But My question is, if you know a predominant part of the audience is going to be white, and I am the white person, I am the person chiefly responsible for putting this out, who is also white, am I then doing a disservice?
Technically not white, but go ahead.
That's fine. Am I doing a disservice by, you know, in some way giving these dumb motherfuckers an excuse to use this word?
So Brad and Todd and Tyler. And Spencer. Oh, no, yeah, I know.
Yep. That's what
so you're.
It's still a white name, don't worry about it.
Your white fans listening to your album might get a little uncomfortable if they hear the N-word. So we have to stop because we might hurt your feelings. Fuck you. You've been hurting our feelings for generations, since years ago. You've been hurting our feelings since years ago. So wait, you're saying not that they might get their feelings hurt, but you are giving them
they
an
might
opportunity
say it.
To say it.
Correct.
What's Ebro think?
I haven't said anything.
I'd bring that up with Ebro. I would like to know what he would say. It's a weird one. But all these white companies put out hip-hop albums that have the N-word.
It's I know.
We don't know. We
but
don't know.
I,
you're
I don't
want to
be like everybody.
You're
yeah.
It's a good one, man. It's a good one.
I already... Flea Lord has a verse on maybe my favorite song on the album that we already talked about making a change to because it's so dark and specifically involves the N-word and violence. And I was just like, bro, I can't be the person who's putting that out there. Like, and I don't even like necessarily hearing it. But I specifically don't want to be the person who's if I can't clearly define that there's a message to it that's deeper than what it sounds, I'm not comfortable putting it out.
Ugh, that's rough, man. It's rough because it's his art.
I know.
It's his art. It's a debate.
Wait, speaking of this, by the way, did you see the video of my parents listening to my song?
I did.
And you saw their look of confusion? Of just in general,
well,
like not knowing what's happening.
When you said you were going to play your song for them, do they think you're on it?
Okay, so we need to, I'm so glad you asked that.
Because they don't know what that means, your song.
I need this clip right now, Billy June, for me to put out to the world. Everybody has asked me, people I don't know, some of my best friends, anyone white over the age of 35, they don't understand when I say I'm putting out an album and I'm putting out music. They don't understand what it means. And by the way, I want to get mad, but it's a reasonable question.
Yeah. It's like how my mom didn't know what I did when I said I was a DJ. She was like, do you do... weddings? Like, what does it mean? I'm like, no, I'm on tour with Lil' Kim. What are you doing with her? Why does she need a DJ? You know what I mean?
Okay. Why does she need a DJ? Okay, so...
So what do they think? You're rapping?
They think I'm rapping. They think... they don't know. So let me just explain. When I say I'm putting out music, I'm putting out an album. What it means is you're executive producing the music.
Mm-hmm.
You are finding beats. In my case, I am finding producers, going through their music, hearing what sounds good to me, then thinking of artists that would go well with that song, then getting...
No, I get it.
I'm not speaking directly to you. Then going to those artists and seeing what they think of the music. In some cases, telling them what I think would work well on this particular song.
Adding your sauce.
Exactly. Then trying to, in some
execute.
Cases, there's so much to it. It's finding another person that fits, that they like, that will go together well. In some
All that
cases,
is an art. All that is an art.
in some cases being like, yo, that didn't really fit because the way that that person ends their verse, we should do this. In some cases, I have like one or two songs where I added samples. Like I have scratches on one song. In another song, I just took audio samples that I needed to fit in. I rearranged things. Mm-hmm. I took the session and took ad libs from one part of the session and put it at the beginning of the song.
That's producing.
So it is. It's just producing. I'm not the and but in hip hop, and this isn't actually even just in hip hop. You know, whether it's a DJ Marshmello or, you know, all these different DJs who put out EDM records. Sometimes they physically produce them and make the beats. No. Sometimes they're just putting artists on songs.
Uh-huh.
So because of people like Khaled and Marshmello, etc., the accepted thing now and the way to do it is, and even before that, Flex did it too.
No, many You're people the, did it. Yeah.
It goes way back. You're the artist. So you don't say, hey, I'm executive producer. And like I saw a couple people tweeted me. They're like, why isn't it presents? No, that's just that. It's you feature artists on your music because the idea is born in my head. The entire thing.
It's an art. It's an art that's not fully understandable or explained or even, you know, put out there in the world. But producing is an art. Quincy Jones is one of the greatest artists of all time. He was the producer. He didn't play all those instruments. He didn't write all those songs. He got everybody in there. That's the art.
Now, but in Quincy Jones's case, he also played and could do most everything, right?
100%. He was definitely a musician. But he didn't play all the music on Thriller. It's an art form gathering the right bass player with the right guitar player with the right drummer with the right writer with the right vocalist. That is art. Putting all that together is not easy as you think. Just because you think this will sound good with this, it doesn't. When you do it, it comes out differently than you thought. And then you're like, oh, well, now we have to add this because I didn't realize he was going to say this, you know?
And so I understand why people ask the question. I hope that clarifies what it means. But yeah, that's it. That's the whole shebang.
Wait, so you got no bars on this album?
I'm going to do an intro and that I talk on.
Uh-huh. You're not dropping one of your Thanksgiving bars?
I don't think I'm going to rap. It did. I have toyed with the idea. I've toyed with the idea of like, Madlib does Quasimodo.
Uh-huh.
Where he does a whole different voice and it doesn't sound like Madlib. It's a whole different thing. It's not like Doom, who always sounds like the person.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different voice. I thought that would be fun to do something where like I sort of disguise
like
my voice
PR?
And young PR,
young
you know.
PR like, yeah, what's up? It's PR. He's
Yeah, like a whole different, but no, I don't think that's really.
What about
idea.
On a skit? You should do a skit.
A skit could work.
You should do a skit, and you pick one of the artists that you work closely with or whatever, and you know you're coming into the studio, and you're here to drop bars, and then they take your mask off, and they're like Peter, and you run out.
But I still get to spit my bars.
But you do a bar. You do like a 16. Or maybe you never get to 16. You do like a 13, you know?
And they would be the gulliest of bars.
Yeah.
All gun talk all the time. I can't help it. I either go homoerotic or serious violence. Those are the only options I have.
I think you should do it.
I'll consider it.
I think you should do it. It'll be so fucking funny.
I have an intro that I think I'm gonna change. I realized recently the reason I gravitated towards this beat so quickly is the same reason it shouldn't be the intro to the album.
What does that mean? Why?
It's just so boom bap jazzy. Like it's the only beat. Like, for example, the beat to Marcus Smart is definitely boom-bappy rap.
Yeah.
But it's not vintage. It's not a...
No, it's the new It's the new vintage.
Right.
It's the Griselda, the Griselda revamping of shit we love.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't sound like a Pete Rock record.
Yeah,
you know, like an old Pete Rock record. Because Pete now has stuff that doesn't sound that way either. But anyways, I'll figure it out. I am excited though. Now, Sife, you actually produce.
What are we talking about?
You're
black movies?
You're different.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about black movies right now.
Yeah, it's great.
You actually produce records though.
I mean, I have nothing. I would say is great. I realized I was not a good producer. I was a good producer. I was a good A&R. I wasn't a good. I'm not a good like musician.
What about the Lil Wayne beat? That's pretty
good.
Yeah,
but that's like that's what I always had partners. Partners that knew how to play music that I can fucking hum.
like
Diddy. I need that guy. I need that. Yeah, of course. But I need that guy. That was me in Solitaire from Toronto.
What else did you do in that way? Were you in Solitaire?
God, the whole second Nina Sky album. I mean, nothing else really came out. That's the thing, though. Another thing about making beats, we both sucked at selling beats. We would sit in my apartment/studio for hours and hours and hours. And, yo, we did a song. We did a Nina Sky Trey Songz song. Trey Songz song. That was fire. There's another. I was thinking about it because I was going through my to-do list the other day. And my to-do list is from, it's from years ago.
Literally.
This is years ago. This to-do list has been growing forever and ever. And I was like, I'm going to take off everything that I've either done or I'm not going to do. And it was, some of it was like, put out the Nina Sky records because they never put out their second album that we did. And there's one beat on there that was so fucking. First of all, we never finished it, but we took Gangstar, All About the Cash. Do, 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 do. Yo, we made them sing an R&B song over that, and I got Styles P and Sheik Looch on it, which was fire.
Bringing it back, come follow me. Nina Sky, Sheik Looch, the Ghost SP. Bringing it back, come follow me.
Sheik Looch?
Nina Sky, Sheik Looch.
Sheik Looch? Anytime I call. The money is good. Anytime.
He's.
All the clothes got back with C's. Let me finish. The kids is young, they still in school. They think the only
problem with the song is we never did a hook.
Iced out, baby. She watching a figure, but not her nigga. All she want is some piff and liquor. Damn, baby girl. The feds is on me.
Watch the singing. It's like Mary J. Blige's second album.
You live by the blade.
Open up your eyes and see you chose the wrong way. But it's never too late to turn around. Oh, no. Think about those nights.
I don't like the drum you add. The drum you add.
Shut up.
Can you do a version real quick one more time for the people? Do the Sypha Sounds vocal remix of the beginning of All for the Cash by Gangstar?
Do 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 do. Vom 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 vom. I got Premier's blessing on that. Premier was like, let me hear it. I played it for him. He said, I love it. Make sure we get the business right. I said, of course.
Just don't spell Primo wrong, and you'll be good.
How do you spell it?
There's only one way to spell it. I learned the hard way. Uh-huh. Premo.
I don't believe in that. I don't like it. I know that's how he spells it. In my phone, I have Premier / Primo, Primo. /
Let him see it.
Premo.
By the way, I thought I told you this story. A couple of years ago, I was at a fight.
Wait, when was it?
And Years ago.
Okay.
Years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was drinking, and I'm in the ESPN suite having a good time, and the DJ at the fight. DJs at boxing matches so often play real hip-hop shit throughout the night. I don't know who they have.
I have noticed that,
They're always playing good shit. So
this
guy goes on like a DJ premiere set, and I go on Twitter, and I'm like, yo, shouts to the DJ at MSG right now playing nothing but Primo. I spelled it P-R-I-M-O. Our guy roasted me on Twitter publicly. Roasted me.
Our friend.
Our friend roasted me. I was like, Preem, I'm sorry. It's P-R-E-E-M-O. Primo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You cannot get that wrong.
Even though it's spelled Premier P-R-I?
No. P-R-E-M.
Oh, Premier. Okay, got it. Got it. Got it. Got it.
I-E-R.
Right, I am, yes, okay. Well, can I play you one more?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. This is R&B? This is R&B?
This is hard.
I'm about to put these out. Fuck it.
You said you got the sample.
Yeah, I got the sample. I found the sample. I got, you know, I put my ideas in. But I work with collaborators. Like, Solitaire is a great producer in his own right. But I'm like, oh, add this here. And then, like, I want this song to sound. Like, we wanted Nina Sky's second album to definitely sound way more R&B. Because they were great singers. But their first album was, like, kind of popish. Because the Move Your Body song blew up and they were... It went into the pop world, and we wanted to make R&B music. We're all. It's funny because we're all Puerto Rican, but like I said, from New York, it's not a black thing or a Latin thing. It's a New York thing. Like, we love that New York R&B shit with like hip hop samples, singing that grimy R&B shit. That's what we wanted to make, and then you know, we parted ways, and then they went on to go get another deal, and that all got fucked up. But the songs I made, man. I fucking loved them. They never came out, though. Should I just put them out?
Some of them, why not?
Just put it out,
You could ask them and just put them out on streaming. Everyone could just make a little money.
No, but why streaming, not? Then we got to clear samples and all that, right?
Well, I mean, I think you can roll the dice and take and see which one. I mean, see how obvious the samples are? So this is a good place to go full circle and close things out.
Okay.
Even though you wouldn't think this is something we'd bring up, but you mentioned Nina Sky. I thought about the video with Angie in it.
Uh-huh.
And I stumbled onto the Wendy Williams Lifetime biopic last night.
Okay.
Yo,
How did you get to that?
Well, A, I'd already thought about it earlier.
Why are you trying to tie it into fucking Angie and Nina Sky?
That was a reach. That was a real reach by me. Billie June worked on Wendy Williams' show. All right, Billie June, we can ask you a question then. But even though this part has nothing to do with that. But, yo, the level of gloss. First of all, I understand it's Lifetime. I understand these movies are basically intentionally shit, miss.
Uh-huh.
Using the word movie is borderline offensive. Yo, the level of gloss over that people try to do, not you, and not Angie. We'll see as Angie's time plays on over time. Although I haven't read her book, I'm sure she didn't gloss over hot at all in her book.
Yeah.
But, yo, the level of gloss over is psychotic.
Of radio?
Of Hot 97.
But Hot 97 wasn't her thing. It wasn't her bag.
But she was big there. That's where she got big,
nah,
no?
Nah, BLS.
WBLS. But hold on. But her first run from 94 to like 98, was it hot?
No. She had Kiss FM before that.
No, so she had hot first. Then she got fired by hot. Then the station she was at got bought by Kiss. Got bought by Emmis.
That was Kiss. You're saying it backwards. Red Alert and Wendy Williams were on Kiss FM. Hot 97 bought Kiss FM and then brought Red Alert and Wendy over to Kiss to Hot 97. She was already big on Kiss FM. She was already big on Kiss.
How long was she on Hot for?
I don't know exactly, but it wasn't long. I would say maybe 3 years.
That still seems like more than a gloss over.
Nah, she made her name. Nah, the hot years with Wendy Williams wasn't it. Her BLS years after Hot was it. She still was popping on Hot 97, but not like she was. Hot 97 was maybe too young for her. She needed the older black girl audience, which was BLS.
Yeah, in December 94, Emmis purchased WRKS and switched Williams to the company's other New York property, Hot 97.
Yeah. 94?
She was fired from Hot 97 in 1998.
98. Okay, yeah, I was there in 98.
Then she went to Power.
No.
In Philly.
Oh, in Philly. Power 99. Yes.
Yeah, there was no Power.
Yes.
She went to Power in Philly.
Correct.
And then in 2001, she went to WBLS.
When she got BLS, that was the move. That's what made Wendy.
So what was her job from 94 to 98 at Hot? Afternoons?
Yeah, she was Angie slot 3 to 7. Angie was 7. This is Angie was 7 to was Angie?
Yeah, Angie was when Flex was weekends only, right?
Or Flex was it? No, Flex was on nights. He was on every night 10 o'clock.
10. I so think, she was doing 7 to 10.
I think. And then, yes, and then Wendy, yeah, but when she left and when she technically got fired, I don't think match up, because the reason how I got a job is because Angie.
Oh, she left earlier. You're right. And she had a non-compete, so she left to Philadelphia or something.
Right. So she left Hot 97. Angie took over her slot 3 to 7. Then they gave Flex 7 to 10. Flex being on as a jock at 7 o'clock is why he needed help, is how I got my job. So thanks, Wendy. I never even put that together. Thanks, Wendy.
So did you have any relationship with her?
I mean, I would see her around, you know. And not really. We was cool, but.
Okay. What were you there for the famed fight?
I was definitely there for sure. I was working at Hot 97 when Angie and Wendy had the fight. I wasn't physically there at the moment, but I was definitely working at the company. So it couldn't have been maybe somebody had to be doing middays. Maybe Wendy was doing middays. Middays middays is like 10 to 2. Yeah.
Or 3. Billy June, what was your experience? What were you said you worked on Wendy for 6 months. Do you have something to contribute?
Let
me try. Let me just try. We'll see how bad it goes.
I left after 6 months. They said I could stay. I didn't want to stay.
Where? At her TV show?
Yeah, I worked
show?
On the TV show.
Why'd you leave?
It was a like in between two jobs kind of thing. It was the same company. And I preferred the other show over her show. And they said it's going to get canceled. And I said, I don't care. I prefer that one. So I left. But it was a pretty interesting experience.
Okay. Make sure you tell us none of the interesting parts.
Yeah.
What the fuck is happening here?
I once had to go pick up her shoes. They were bigger than me.
Okay. Yeah. Did you have any interactions with her?
Yeah. Like, I saw her every single day. She was very nice.
She was nice.
I mean, her husband's a little crazy.
You think?
That's out there. Yeah, that's known. That's known, I think.
There was a lot of arguing, a lot of him walking out.
Arguing with her or arguing
everybody.
With staff and stuff? Everybody.
People used to walk out as they were about to come on because they didn't like him.
That was good stuff, Billy. Maybe you can do a biopic someday.
All right. This, we've gone all over the gambit on this one. We're all over
let's
the road.
Just, by the way, let's just scrap this. This is just shit, miss.
You know what? Make this Make this a Patreon episode.
You know what we should do? We should take this shitty episode and give it to the people who like us most and pay for it.
Give them the
we
shit.
We should take this terrible shit and give it to the people who spend money.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about this episode. And often with our episodes, listening straight through, I know people are like, what the fuck is happening? But in snippets, we are on fire. Like, you should play one app just hitting that little circle that says 15 on it. Just like, it's like one app is dead roulette, right? And you go, you pick a number, you go 26. Yeah. You say 26. And you start the podcast, and then you hit that 15 forward button 26 times. Boom, 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 boom. And wherever it ends up, you'll be like, oh, this is fire. Like,
but if you listen straight through, you're
straight
fucked.
Through. You're like, what the fuck did I just do with my life?
Now next week we will regain a little bit of structure, mm-hmm. because it is the J. Dilla pun weekend.
It's always a weird weekend.
Yeah. So
it's weird.
The exact
it's
numbers
puns,
are.
It's pun's death day.
No. It's Dilla's birthday.
Yeah, and pun's death day.
And pun's death day. But then it's weird because Dilla's death day is 3 days later.
Yeah.
But it's Dilla's birthday.
And pun's death day.
He was born. Actually, hold on. Is this? No. He was born in 74. So he would have been 47?
I can't do math.
That sound right?
I can't do math.
Yeah, he would have been 47. And it's going to be pun's death day. The day that he died was February 7th, 2021 years ago. Mm. Oh, my.
Wait,
God. That's
wait,
crazy.
What?
21 years
pun
ago.
Died pun died 21 years ago?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Bro, we're at the age now where it's not even cliched. I'm sure our listeners can feel us on this. You can tweet us, at Cypher Sounds, at Rosenberg Radio. It's at a point now. I was talking to Dipperstein yesterday. I'm at the hotel, going to do the Royal Rumble tonight. And he was like, yo, he was like, I was watching an old kickoff show you did for them in 2016. I've already been with WWE for 5 years. I was gone for a year.
Yeah.
But it's been over. I've been here 5 years.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
When you get to this age, it's fucking, it's awful. It's awful how fast it goes.
Yeah, I was looking at something on Instagram. I forget which album it was, but it was like, this album turns 25 today. And I was like, fuck. Like, I remember listening to that album, being of somewhat of an adult mind. You know what I mean? And like, when did this come out? Like, where was I?
Well, we already hit. It's already been 25 for Cuban Lynx.
Jeez.
It's been 25 for all those. We're going to get. Sif, here. No. Here's what's going to make you feel like, yo. But yeah. No, for me.
Yeah.
Years ago.
This was years ago.
In 23, it'll be 30 years since Midnight Marauders. Which means that it's 30 years for Low End Theory this year, Sif. We got to do a whole special. Hold on.
Let's make a very non-special special.
No, let's make a very special non-special. Sif, it's coming up. September of this year. We got to prepare for this, Sif.
Uh-huh.
30 years Low End Theory, yo.
Wow.
30 years. That means if in 1991 when Low End Theory came out, you still loved an album when it came out 30 years ago, you were listening to an album that dropped in 1961.
Fuck.
30 years. So, yo, Sif, I'm telling you right now, we got to get Bob Power.
Mm-hmm. Lucien.
We got to get. No, well, Lucien's not on that album.
So what?
Face.
You still get it? We got to speak to him.
We got to get Ron Carter. He's 83 years old.
Oh, yeah. That's who we got to get.
Can we get Ron Carter on the bass? Oh, no. Here's who we can get, though. We can get Diamond D.
Uh-huh.
We could get Lord Jamar and Sadat X. We could get Pete Rock. We could get Q-Tip. We could get Jarobi to find out what he wasn't doing on that album. Was Jarobi really around at all? Was he around for some of it?
Don't know.
We can get Busta.
No, but you know what? Can we one-up it? Who created that fucking artwork?
Ooh.
Who created that yellow and, I mean, that red and green silhouette?
Because that was everything.
We also can get the real Bonita Applebaum. I know her.
Who is that again?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say just yet, but I'll find out.
Is she hot?
She's a very beautiful woman.
Still?
Very beautiful woman.
Right now?
You know her.
I personally do.
I found out in Ohio over the summer at Dave Chappelle's house, not to name drop. We got Dave Chappelle's house doing one of our summer shows. And somebody said, hey, Sive, you'll get a kick out of this. This woman here is a Bonita Applebaum. And I was like, yeah, damn.
And wait. And you're saying I know her too?
If you don't know her personally, you know who she is. I'll tell you off the air.
Wow. Maybe we could get her.
We can get her. We're friends now. We're friendly.
And
I text her. I text Bonita Applebaum. You understand that?
How's she saved in your phone?
As her real name.
You're trash.
But underneath it says Bonita.
Okay, good. Yo, that's crazy. And there are a lot of people to get from that because you have all of Leaders.
Leaders.
We could also talk. We could also talk about Kid Hood. Could we get something? A lot there.
Where's Kid? Like what? Why has that story never been told? I've never heard it.
I don't really know the Kid Hood story that
I'd never heard the Kid Hood story.
Yo, he starts off Scenario Remix.
Who the fuck is he?
This is a cliffhanger episode.
I mean, too bad we're not doing it till September. Why are we talking about it now?
We need time. As we just said, time flies. It's going to happen in 2 seconds. We'll be in September. All right, so we'll get there. But next week, we'll focus on Dilla and Pun.
Okay, who do we get for that?
We should probably talk about that off the air.
We can get Tony Sunshine.
Sure we can.
We should try to get Triple Sace.
Rivers.
Triple Sace might remember the threesome story, the train story he invited me to. The Triznane.
Yep. We could get Steve Rifkin.
Ooh. Could we get Dead Prez?
That would be cool.
Can we get Dead
That
Prez?
Would be cool. I don't know, the
reason why I'm saying these names out loud is because I'm hoping Billy June is writing them down.
Oh. But you that's what you think? Oh, that's a nice thought. That's a nice thought you just had. Well, listen, Sife, I'm going to go do the wrestling now.
Okay, go do your wrestling.
Everyone, thank you for all the support. We already gave you all the plugs at the beginning. We're not going to bombard you again, but Sife has something to say. Go ahead.
No, just hit me up, comment with black movies I need to watch this month.
Yes.
Thank you for all the support. VeryFamousNY.com. You go get your shirts and hoodies. Wanep merch, and I hate saying merch. Wanep merch is coming very soon. Hey, listen, Wanep is dead. Patreon, follow us, support, leave a comment, rate us, and have a fucking great life, man. And remember, you are famous in someone's eyes. You are famous.
And I love you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.